V2. On the V2X side, anyone want to give that? Otherwise, I'm happy to share about perhaps V2 being on testnet this week and a second release towards the end of this week, and then scheduled for next week, mainnet release. So
I think the second testnet release just finished and went off smoothly.
Just done.
So in the pro,
there you go.
Yeah. And we also got to test the upgradeability in the process, cause it was an upgrade of the old testnet release, like not a whole new deploy. And so everything ran smoothly. So it's looking pretty good.
We did it on purpose, right?
Exactly. Always leave a few bugs in there so you could test the upgradeability.
That's right. What it does mean, because our audit is currently focused on V3, is that SIP 237, which is debt migration, while that is underway for both the back-end work and the front-end, that's probably going to be mid-January due to audit constraints. Anything else to add on V2? Nice and simple. Nice and quick. V3. Noah, did you like to share that?
Yeah, not a super big report. We're in touch with the auditors and everything's moving smoothly. We're also working on the markets in parallel as planned. So, everything's still on schedule.
And you might notice in GovCall chat, there's a list of Open Zeppelin. In addition to ISRO doing an audit for V3 like they've done for, I think, all of this year, Open Zeppelin is also doing a comprehensive review for audit for V3.
So, if I may, I would like to add to that a little bit.
Please go.
Yeah, there's actually three firms doing the audit, doing audits. So it's Macro, ISRO, and Open Zeppelin. And they're all in what we call the security review phase, which is basically we can change the code, right? It's not frozen and requested to be frozen from them. But they are like giving us, advice, understanding the code. We're helping them understand the code and they can give us feedback. We could make some change to the code, right? Probably some tidy up or something. And then the audits start. So that's where we're at. And the scope of each team is still TBD because it's usually what they decide after the security review and before they start the audit, obviously. But it is pretty evident so far that Macro will focus on the tooling. That's the, like the router architecture and all that. And the other firms are going to focus on the product built on top of that. It's looking really good.
Oh, by when are we expecting the code freeze?
Sorry, can you repeat now?
By when are we expecting the code freeze?
It is frozen right now, but the official review ends, I believe, next week, right? And yeah, right now we're modifying tests, we are adding documentation, super super minor changes if it's to the contracts, but by end of next week we won't be able to do that, unless we negotiate like a new commit with the auditors, but. We have to fight for it.
Cool.
Yeah, there's no, importantly, like no additional features until this gets out.
Thanks, Ale. Thanks, Noah. Doesn't look like there's any other questions about audits or V3. Perhaps V2, we've touched on already. Second testnet release this week, scheduled for mainnet release next week to give some of the integration partners time. And finally, staking team has shifted onto the staking V3 prototype, getting ready for launch next year. Any other questions about SIPs in progress? Or any commentary from CCs on any of the things we've discussed? 10 minutes, wow. Right. Any questions? Record time. Thanks, Matt. In that case, I know we've got some SIPs coming up later, but happy to turn the stage over to the council. I know there's probably some, there's been plenty of discussions around V3 tokenomic models. That's probably a discussion that can go for a very long time, but maybe we wanted to dedicate some time to that.
I mean, I don't have any full-blown conversation that I think is worth getting into in this call, other than saying that I think we need to take the time to properly consider the fee model, not rush to have a SIP on the table and finalized, rather than flesh out the discussions of what is going to bring us most long-term stable revenue for SNX stakers while balancing the liquidity interest that we need. If we rush this just to have something in place, we will fall to that, you know, issue of governance, kind of ossifying things and not changing them and moving forward, and could really cut off our success of V3 before it starts. So I would just caution moving slowly on this one and encourage the community that's listening to get involved in the conversation. Underneath the Spartan Council chat, there are, what, 4 different proposals right now, maybe 3. They're worth reading, spending the time on, and giving your feedback so that your voice is heard and represented in what you think the fee model should be, because that will depend, that will change what is coming back to you, and that will change what is used for liquidity and for partners underlying V3. So it's probably one of the most important conversations we are going to have this cycle in governance, and I think it's worth taking the time to get it right and getting as many voices involved as we can.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think it's a good time to make up our minds in a few of these things while we progress with the other part, right? So what we don't want is that we have the possibility to go to prod and we're not, because we still have to decide a few things, right?
Well, one thing I did want to ask is something that Tara maybe mentioned to me this week. It's about the progress of that migration and burning fees. Do we have a schedule for the release of these 2 SIPs in particular? Is it going to happen before V3 or it won't be done until?
They're both happening before V3. I think Mark was going to present debt migration next week. He just wanted to make some changes, but like it has been worked on already. And I think the bulk of the legwork is done. And we also wanted to do fee burning before V3, but both of these will probably happen. I mean, they definitely will happen after the new year.
Okay. So early January.
Yeah.
These would be the last SIPs up as part of V2X, right? Or are there any others that are not V3 related that are expected to be implemented?
I think that's it.
All right. Okay, we'll move on to if there is no topics for discussion. We can move on to the SIP presentations. We have quite a few today. We can start with Matt's SIP 294, if I'm not mistaken. Go ahead, Matt. Is he here? Yeah.
Yep, I'm here. Happy to walk through it. Let me just grab a link and drop it in the chat as well. One sec. Yeah,
I did already.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, so 294 is relatively straightforward. Simple summary on it is it takes the 6,000 SNX that's minted each week and deposited directly into the SUSD curve pool. What this SIP does with that is instead of it going directly to the SUSD curve pool on L1, it would increase that mint to 10,000 SNX per week. And it would give control of that to the treasury so they can handle, any incentives they want to do, through incentive programs on Convex or, you know, Stake DAO or wherever else, you know, you can do the sort of curve war side of things. Reasoning on that is first off, the way that we've been doing this 6,000 SNX per week is, capital inefficient. You can get another, you know, 30-40%. More efficiency by going through Convex or similar solutions. And then also, you know, giving this control over to the Treasury Council to do it, allows them to work on L1 liquidity for synths, in a way that could best support, you know, atomic swaps and so on. So yeah, I mean, that's really the entire SIP. For a little bit more context, you know, this 6,000 SNX is probably the reason that a good amount of people found out about synthetics some time ago, because this is like the original, like, you know, rewards with Curve from a long time ago, so it's a bit of a carryover. And this should have been done some time ago now, but I think people just kind of forgot because it was a small amount of SNX per week. But yeah, that's really it. There's some chats.
So there aren't any like clear directives mentioned in the SIP on what the Treasury would be doing with the SNX.
Yeah. So within it,
like, give it to Treasury, you know, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah. It also doesn't really seem to be carried over onto the SIP site. But anyway. I can drop the actual here. One second. I'll just drop the actual language. I don't know why it got messed up. But yeah, I mean, what I pretty much laid out is I said to increase liquidity of the Treasury Council, I have discretion in allocating the 10,000 SNX per week to the appropriate curve synth pool. So I really wanted to give them like maximum control over how they want to handle this. So yeah, I mean, the directive was really to have the SNX in a separate wallet controlled by them and then they can handle you know, how they want to deploy it. If you guys would like, I can say that they have to use this 10,000 SNX per week or, you know, something like that. But yeah, the goal was to just make sure that they have the maximum control over this 10,000 SNX.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind language around it being have to use on incentives for synth liquidity, just so that it's not earmarked for something else.
That's like kind of there, but yeah, I can totally make it more explicit, and just kind of lay that out, a little bit better. So yeah, totally don't mind that if that helps the council.
Some kind of accountability, and for how long do we expect this to go on?
We're going to leave this, I'm going to leave this as indefinitely because the 6,000 SNX prior to this has been, indefinite as well. It's just been a part of the inflation mint. So I'm not going to have a sunset date or anything along those lines. I just don't really see it as important right now, given that we're just increasing this by 4,000 and kind of making it more capital efficient and letting the Treasury decide which synth pools need the liquidity.
Is the increase to 10,000 primarily due to a drop in the token price? And do we expect to change the amount as the price of SMX goes up, or do we want to just keep it open-ended for now?
My idea would be to keep it open-ended for now, and just kind of see how that works with liquidity, and then we can kind of work with the Treasury Council if they feel the need to lower this, you know, increase it, so on and so forth. But I think this is a pretty fair number with current token price.
Now the problem is that we don't have like enough of an incentive on those pools to get the liquidity. We already have, I think, is it 10 to 1 in terms of sense to nonsense liquidity? The problem is getting sense, and incentives to those pools will not help, right?
Yeah, I mean, I addressed this a little bit in the thread. While this doesn't solve the core issue of like synth supply and, you know, and so on L1 and L2, this is just kind of like, you know, something that should have been done a while ago to make just to make this whole incentive more capital efficient to begin with, because this 6,000 SNX is going into one pool. Where it's, you know, losing out, you know, probably 30 to 40% more capital efficiency. But yeah, I mean, you're totally right. There is definitely a synth supply, issue, that I think we're all hoping to be solved in, you know, V3 once we have, you know, more collateral options and so on. But it is something that the ambassadors are working on with Beefy to set up automated strategies around synth loans and such.
So, like, if we don't have a synth liquidity incentive problem, nonsense liquidity incentive problem, and they don't need to spend the 10K SNX, it will just, like, accumulate in the wallets that they specify for them to, as per their discretion, spend for incentives in the future?
I mean... it really depends. My goal would be to just, you know, if
I think
wants to mandate that it's spent. But you know, that's something that if the Spartan Council wants me to set like a minimum level or something like that, that's fine. But I mean, I think it's pretty fair to just say, hey, you know, make sure to use this 10,000 SNX per week.
I mean, normally, you know, like you have a champion for a SCCP or a SIP. And that champion should be like the guy that's driving this. And as far as I know, you're not on the treasury, right? As one of those,
you know, no, Caleb, I am not.
Unless you like, assumed another identity, why doesn't a treasury council member present this SIP?
I mean, that's more so just because I wrote it and thought this was a, you know, a helpful thing to take on.
Okay.
I don't really see the, you know, the issue on that side of things. Just because there's no other party to really handle this sort of thing. And the treasury's kind of doing this on a weekly basis anyway, you know, with Velodrome and Curve and so on.
Okay.
Matt, how do you arrive at the number of, you know, 30 to 40% or capital inefficient or efficient? Do you have something in mind how this is going to be, you know, the most efficient way to do it?
Yeah. So, when it comes to the emissions that are directed to a pool, based on the incentives, placed on them in something like Convex or State DAO or, you know, one of those many, programs that exist out there, for every dollar in incentives, you receive about $1.30, $1.40 in Curve emissions. So that's that 30 to 40% that we're currently missing out on in efficiency, because we just directly drop SNX into the pool, you know, for liquidity instead of receiving that in Curve emissions.
Thanks.
All right. Well, is there any other questions or comments or requirements to add to the SIP from the council? Great. My only requirement is to just fix the SIP, please, in terms of
definitely. Tara and I were working on that. I'm not sure why it showed up on the site like this.
No, it's partially down to me because I got the top working, but I didn't actually check that the headers were formatting correctly.
No, no problem. I will make sure that that's fixed and make some edits and get it back to you guys so we can get it up for a vote pretty shortly. Thank you, guys. Great.
Okay, and we'll move on to the next SIP. This is a simple one, 252. As you all saw, we had the LUSD unwrap happen. And basically, like, to be fully transparent with the community, we went and did it, but the Spartan Council were informed about it before it was implemented, and we got their consent and no one objected to it. The reason we wanted to do it discreetly is because of the peg situation with LUSD. If we had to announce it, then funny stuff would happen and stakers would lose out in terms of the profit that would be that could be farmed from this peg situation on the LUSD price. So I did prepare the SIP post facto after the implementation. The LUSD wrapper is now empty. So what happened basically is that the plan was to lower the burn fee rate to zero, extract all the LUSD. Treasury would provide the SUSD funds, and then increase the burn fee rate back to 5%. Now, what's missing is we need to lower the max volume per block. Atomic swaps. The max wrappable amount to zero, because you never know. Like, maybe one day LUSD will go to zero, you know, and then people can extract losses on the protocol by wrapping it to SUSD. So that's what's left. We'll implement this. FIDA will implement this after it's voted on. I just wanted to bring it up. Hopefully in the future, like, we could still like do discrete kind of to for the profit of stakers if the council is on board with it. But it would be more a transaction set up where the Spartan Council needs to sign it. But for this one, it was done because if we had the presentation, then it would have kind of spoiled the opportunity for the protocol as a whole.
You mentioned that this would be done for the profit of stakers, but the SIP doesn't go into the intentions regarding the arbitrage profit that was made in this particular instance.
Absolutely. My understanding with Treasury is that the profit would go to stakers, and that would be done in the form of burning the SUSD. But I'd leave the questions to them, you know. We have many channels on the timing. From what I understand, they haven't, like, executed all of it yet. They still have some left to do, and whatever they did, they got like $300,000 profit around. I think 2 to 3%. So that was the amount of debt relief that stakers can be.
Seems like almost a shame to lose all that liquidity from burning the SUSD.
In the end, it has to be unwound somehow. And to be honest, $15 million. We're already at 101 and we didn't move up above 101. And it's not really useful, you know. If you cannot, if you can unwind it now at a profit, or maybe unwind it later at PEG, then it's a wasted opportunity for the protocol in terms of providing stakers with debt relief. But I do agree with you that, since liquidity is not abundant these days. All right, if there's no other questions on 252, I'll set it up for vote. 253. 253 is kind of another one related to the ETH wrapper. ETH wrapper is kind of a issue. Like, right now, we do have, when I wrote this initially, it was in the context of having to unwrap the wrappers in order to move them to V3. However, I'll keep the 253 for another date, because there might be other things that would be taking place from now until V3, where the parameters laid out in 253 might need to change. So I'll leave that to another date. We have the deprecate low volume since 293. Yeah, this is kind of important. So, you know, since they're not like really useful as they were in the old days, and the liquidity on what we have now has dried up quite a bit. Like in the old days, Aave had a lot more volume and a lot more liquidity on centralized exchanges. And yet we didn't like remove the, we don't have control over the open interest in terms of synth. On top of that, like, but what protects stakers right now are two things from manipulation attacks. The first thing is fee reclamation on L1. So if someone wants to manipulate, they'll have to like kind of maintain the manipulation for 6 minutes. And when they unwind, they need to maintain it for another 6. So it's kind of hard to pull off with fee reclamation. On top of that, you have synth liquidity, which isn't as abundant. So acquiring a large amount, a big amount of synth is hard as well. And on L1 and L2, the issue is dynamic fees. You cannot just work around them. If you push the price up, then dynamic fees will hit you on the way down. So that's why we're kind of protected from manipulation attacks on low liquidity things. And in my opinion, they should like, we should like kind of start the conversation about deprecating these. In the end, aside from SETH, SBTC, and SUSD, I don't see any need for synth to begin with. They don't generate volume for stakers, and they're just like a attack, a risk space. And we don't have control as well on the amount that can be minted, or we don't have like kind of circuit breakers or protections on the manipulation in case we decide one day to remove dynamic fees. So that's the situation with this SIP. Do want to mention, like, although we had originally set up a SECP to kill dynamic fees on L1, on L2, this would have like required that we kind of delist these things. But now it's no longer required because we found a workaround that doesn't need to disable dynamic fees on L2. So PERP Z2 will not have any dynamic fees, and will we won't need to change any parameters of dynamic fees that are already in place on L2. Well, does anyone have any questions or concerns about this one, 293, or needs more details?
I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
293. Yeah, I would say one, for the supportive of this, I think it just represents, like you said, the attack vector. It's not getting a lot of use. My question is, do you think that any of these bot synths have the potential to support atomic swaps and volume in them and have like a use case like that in the future? Like certainly not Solana, but like
yeah,
maybe Matic.
Look, atomic swaps, atomic swaps require a Uniswap, deep liquidity on Uniswap D3, you know? And these things, they don't have it. So maybe one day, like, we could have, like, a situation where they do have a deep liquid Uniswap D3 kind of pool where we can, like, get the price from it, right? But for now, it's kind of, I don't see it happening in the near term. Maybe. So why not? I wouldn't dismiss it, you know. Maybe with Solana, as you mentioned, or some other coin where it has deep liquidity, yeah. But in V3, maybe in a different form as well. Like with V3, you could have limited amount of synths that can be minted based on how much that is allocated to a certain market. So this is like kind of good control.
If V3 is multi-chain, then, you know, Matic will have a deep Matic pool on Uniswap on Matic, right? So we can reissue.
Yeah, Matic was the one that I.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if there's a Uniswap pool and we're multi-chain, yeah, absolutely. We could see a situation, but that would be with V3. And with V3, you have like this kind of mechanism that limits the amount of synths that can be minted in a certain market up to the debt allocated to that market. Like if stakers, when they stake ETH or SNX, they allocate that to a certain market, and you can only grow that market up to the limit, up to a certain limit, based on the debt allocated to it. So it's kind of a way to limit exposure, yes. But now we don't have that, you know. So with V3, a lot of problems get solved. One of them is the infinite open interest problem on synth. So we might even have it without, things listed, without the need to have a very deep liquid, Uniswap pool, because stakers, they take on the risk by allocating their debt to a certain market.
I agree with this. I think this is a good move.
But I do want to say that there is no danger right now on Staker because of the reasons I mentioned. It's just like kind of anticipation for like future, maybe unexpected situational changes. Like we need to remove dynamic fees, or we need to wind down the fee reclamation or something like that. Then it wouldn't be great to have these things. And we tend to forget. So I went ahead and prepared the SIP. And I'll post it up for vote, maybe like when Perps V2 start.
One question, is what happens to the open interest? So like that's the thing that is the fatal flaw of these is they're not like callable or closable, like, and that's just makes it such an exploitative possible condition. So like how does the clothing of open interest like work?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you remember the DeFi one, the SDeFi, the one that did the same similar kind of implementation on it last during the last term, is that SDeFi got really volatile because of Luna, because Luna was in it, and we had to deprecate it. And the way we did it is with something called a redeemer. And the redeemer, what it does is basically one thing. It accepts a synth and gives you back SUSD at a fixed price. And that fixed price is like set at kind of inception of the contract. So right now, like link price, I don't know, is it $20? We say like $20 one S link. So you give the contract one S-link, it gives you $20. Does that answer the question?
Yes. Is there, I mean, is it like some sort of it's probably too young for you, but is there some sort of like a TWAP or something?
A TWAP? Sorry, what's a TWAP?
Determine that, to like determine the closing.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we could like set it to a TWAP value. No issue. But the price usually is set at contract inception. So like if we launch it, we have to kind of set the price at which it can be redeemed. It's a deprecation, you know, and there will be announcements, of course, that deprecate your, to redeem your synth. But like everyone's right will be preserved in terms of getting value out of these synths. We're not gonna just like rug anyone and like just send these synths to make them unusable.
Yeah.
We can, like, I can add to the SIP before it's launched the exact price that would be settled at. But it's good to do this before, like, we have a lot of Perps V2 contracts. Mm-hmm. And Perps V2 is the product that would replace these eventually.
Sounds good.
All right, and
would that then be?
Go ahead.
We have Solon there. Would there then be a danger of people just leaving, holding onto the synth, assuming that Sol is going to fall down, knowing that they can redeem against the debt pool at a later date? Like,
yeah, I was just thinking this sounds like you're giving them a free call option. You've set a base redeemable price.
Sure, but they cannot. If Sol increases in price, they will not gain money from it. So it's like as if we crystallized the price, you know. You know what I mean? Like it's Sol is like how much is it? It's like $1,500 now. You have $1,500 versus Sol. You get 1,500 SUSD. Come and take it whenever you want. So it's like a way to convert everything to SUSD without converting everything to SUSD. So there's no option. It's just the application. I don't know if it's clear.
Yeah, no, got it. That makes sense now. You're not, the functionality to redeem it or swap it anywhere else is gone. So it's just the entirely fixed price redeem at point of contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
Creation.
You crystallize a certain price. Yeah, yeah. That was what happened with when Luna imploded. We like, everyone was squared at a recent price, you know, because it wasn't reliable anymore, the feed for DeFi, the index.
Okay, I see. Thanks.
All right, that's 293. Last one, I believe, is 292. Okay. 292 is a SIP that I wrote on behalf of the Fixed Forex team. So I'll be presenting it, but it's their SIP, you know. And basically, it lays out two integrations that they want to have. And the integrations involves, like, one is convex farming. So someone deposits non-synth. That synth is swapped to SUSD, because SUSD has deep liquidity. Deep liquidity is $7 million these days. And that SUSD is swapped into a stable of their choice and deposited into the respective IBS pool on Curve, and then that goes to Convex. Now, given the series of transactions this involves, we don't need to have like rock fees on this. And given that they cannot swap this into something else. So they set up a contract that does exactly this. And they asked me, can we lower fees? Because no one can take advantage of this. You have to have five different transactions before someone goes into Convex. And that includes fees on all of them and slippage. So can we have lower fees? And I told them, yeah, that's an integration. You know, we can work with it. And they asked for 5 basis points. I said, yeah, why not? Normally it's 15 basis points on Forex or 10. We can lower it to 10, actually. I said, yeah, fine. I'll mention it in the SIP, 5 basis points. That's the first use case they wanted, is to get some convex farming, going with low fees on exchanges with synth. The second one is trading. Trading is like someone wants to trade between synths, and what they aim to do is like folks want to switch between different convex staking positions. So out from Korean won into Japanese yen. And that entails a swap, you know. And instead of going back to a non-stable and then going and non-synth and going back into the different pool, they just hop over with the trading integration contract they have, and it would have 10 basis point atomic fee instead of 15 basis points that we have currently in place on atomic swaps. So that's about it, I think. Do you have any questions on this? Well, I know the addresses haven't been updated yet because the team hasn't yet verified and deployed both contracts. When they do, I'll set up the votes. I told them I'll present it this week, and when they're ready, we'll set it up. But how does everyone feel about this?
I want to voice my strong support for this, but also point out my bias in this. When I was coming into the election, I was vocally calling on Fixed Forex to integrate with us in this kind of implementation and pushing for it. So obviously I wholeheartedly support it, but also have bags related to their project and was pushing for them to do this integration as I thought it would be useful for them. So endless support, but bias just to be upfront.
Yeah, I also think it sounds really good. I would like, before we have a vote, just to take some time to consider what kind of volume we might expect to see from this, only because historically a lot of these Forex synth pools tend to just be farms that generate yield between others protocols, like, you know, swapping between SEuro and some other Euro stable that don't actually return much value to the protocol. And if, you know, synths just kind of sit idly without actually being exchanged to other synths, it's not very positive for us, and it even pulls liquidity away from other places where we need it. So I just want to make sure we consider that before we make a decision on this to make sure that it doesn't backfire on us. So I would just ask if we could wait to have the vote to give me a chance to think about that a little bit more, and then we can reconsider it.
So I totally agree with you, and we should have the liquidity. The use case that actually I had personally thought of this kind of thing in the past, our synthetics markets for foreign currencies have like non-existent liquidity access during times that the market is closed because we no longer issue or redeem the synths directly. And so having other systems that have pools where you can transfer in and out of the currency is critical. Otherwise, if you use synthetics, you know, S yen, you're stuck in it over the weekend no matter what. And so I think a lot of the volume from these pools comes from the ability that they have another fixed forex yen, but then another pool with fixed forex yen USDC. So you can get out of S yen into USDC on a weekend.
Yep, for sure. They're definitely useful. I just want to weigh the cost benefit a little bit more.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we have time because the fixed forex team isn't ready yet with the contracts. So probably it will take them another week or two at most, from what I understand, to finalize both contracts. And they're fine with the, I told them, like, I cannot set up a vote until you guys have the contracts ready. And they said, yeah, of course, no worries. We can delay. We're okay with having the vote later and getting it done later. In the end, we cannot like deploy it without the contracts and having it go through peer review anyway.
Right. Cool. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. That's about it, I guess, on my SIP list. If there are no other things to discuss, okay, perfect. Great. Thank you, everyone, cool, for joining us today. Early.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
By the way, one question. One question before we close. Will we have a meeting next week? This was something Tara brought up. Next week will be the 22nd?
It's 22nd. So, that's not Christmas. Don't be a slacker.
Because we have the Spartan Council nomination call on the 21st, I believe. So will it be a normal day-to-day weekly sync, or are people going on leave and we're going to just like slack off, you know, for the next 2 weeks?
Just a note, I hadn't sent this info out elsewhere. I was just kind of checking in with CCs, but I'm thinking about doing the governance call during this time next week, because we haven't done the governance call in 3 months. So, I mean, I can reach out to the Spartan Council directly on that one, but if that would work, instead of doing a sync, we would just do the regular, we would just do a synthetics governance call. Updates on the last 3 months and, you know, what the future holds for synthetics.
I imagine the CCs would also be on that call and be able to give a soon to come regarding V3, V, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. It would take the place of a regular sync. And to Millie's question, we can do the governance call on the last week of the month. No, I would like to avoid doing any calls during that time, because I expect there's going to be a lot of CCs and Spartan counselors and other, you know, any representatives from other communities. They'll probably be on leave during that time. So it would be best to get it in next week, you know, same time as this.
So you're advocating that next week, but I'll really make the CCs be here and SC gets the week off from this call. I mean, I fully support that. That sounds like a great plan, Matt.
Not really, because the governance call includes the Spartan counselors, Grants Council, Ambassador Council,
yeah.
Treasury Council, so on, doing all updates. Right. Yeah, so no week off for you guys.
I'll still support it. It's fine.
Speaking of which, Adam, I assume that you're going to volunteer to represent the Spartan Council and give us a presentation.
I will absolutely ad-lib something for you.
Does that mean I finally get to meet my fans from the Treasury Council?
Dream on. I've never met them. No one has met them. They're just like there, you know. Like God. All right.
I mean, the entertainment value of that's a very kind of voice changer would be worth attending by itself.
We achieved voice changer, yeah.
All right, let's call it a day. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Let's get started. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.